There are some people who say we cannot tell whether we're saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. I was there when Jesus saved me.
Saved my soul.
The very moment he forgave me.
Made me whole.
Took away my heavy burden. Lord, he gave me peace within.
Peace within.
Satan can't make me doubt it.
Can't make me doubt it.
Feeling I'm gonna shout it.
I'm gonna shout it.
I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Though the world may argue that you cannot feel that salvation is really real, so get your burdens lifted and your sin will go. I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. I was there when Jesus saved me.
Saved my soul.
Every moment he forgave me.
Made me.
Took away my heavy burden. Lord, he gave me peace within.
Peace within.
Satan can't make me doubt it.
Can't make me doubt
it's real and I'm gonna shout it.
I'm gonna shout it.
I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. I was there when Jesus saved me.
Saved my soul.
The very moment he forgave me.
Made me whole.
Took away my heavy burden. Lord, he gave me peace within.
Peace within.
Satan can't make me doubt it.
Can't make me doubt
it's real and I'm gonna shout it.
I'm gonna shout it.
I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know.
There are certain principles, of course, that run through the Word of God and are true in every age. It makes no difference where you live, whether you are an Israelite or whether you're a Gentile, whether you're in the nation of Israel or whether you're in the body of Christ. There are biblical principles that are true in every dispensation and every age. And of course, one of those principles is this, is that we are never to live for ourselves and to simply gather things for ourselves and to just enjoy the things that we can gather and just simply gathering these things to have a good time. Let's read about a man that was looking forward to having a good time here in Luke chapter number 12. Jesus tells this parable here, and he said, verse number 16, he spake a parable unto them. Luke 12:16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now, I'm going to attempt to put a little illustration up here on the board of this whole situation that we're talking about this morning. And this ground of a certain rich man. This man was already rich. He already had plenty. It's not like that he needed another barn. He already had plenty of barns. He had plenty already. But the ground, the Word of God says, the ground brought forth plentifully. And so he had more. And he kind of had a little problem here. I guess a lot of us like to have this problem, wouldn't we? Having so much, we wouldn't know what to do with it. And, of course, you know, Jesus, when he was going to get down to some real issues in life, he would many times use this matter of money. Now, especially in the kingdom, especially preaching the gospel of the kingdom, because you know, the gospel of the kingdom had a lot to say about what a man did with his financial matters. You remember whenever Jesus told his disciples to follow him, he said, you follow me. And Peter later on said, Lord, we've left all. He left his job. He was a fisherman. He left his job. He left his family. He left all. And he followed the Lord. Jesus told a rich young ruler one time, this rich ruler asked Jesus, said, "What do I lack?" And Jesus said, "If thou wilt be perfect or complete, then go sell what you've got, sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor." And the matter, what I want you to see is that the gospel of the kingdom had a lot to do with money, with goods, with the things of this world. And the reason it was such a test to the people was this, is that, you see, Jesus was king, and he was offering himself as the king of Israel. And if Israel received him, then the Lord Jesus Christ would bring in the kingdom. That's what John the Baptist came preaching. After 400 years of silence, John the Baptist came preaching, and he said, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand." Now, if something's at hand, it means it's very close. It's almost there. And that's what John was talking about. The king's been born. He's about to begin his public ministry. The kingdom of heaven's here. It's at hand. And if you'll repent and accept Christ, then the kingdom will be set up. In the kingdom, God will take care of all finances. And so the Lord Jesus, when he was dealing with this matter of the kingdom gospel, many times he would use money to illustrate it. Now, I want you to know this. There's nothing wrong with being rich in any age. Nothing wrong with being rich in any age. I doubt that there will be rich men in the millennial kingdom. I doubt that. I think there's going to be some. Men are always talking about, they want equality and all of that. Well, I'm afraid they probably will not want the kind of equality that's going to be. But I'll guarantee you, in the kingdom, there's going to be an equality of things. So I doubt there's going to be very many rich men. But there's nothing wrong with being rich in this age. Wasn't anything wrong with being rich during the earthly ministry of the Lord. Wasn't anything wrong with it. It was just the matter of what you did with it and what you planned to do with it. And as you look at this certain rich man, he had plenty already. And the Word of God says, "What shall I do?" He thought within himself. He thought within himself. Notice, there's no praying. There's no matter of wondering what God would have him to do. It's just a matter that here's what I'm going to do. In fact, he's got kind of a case of what you'd call the I, my disease. You see all those eyes in there? He said, verse 17, he thought within himself, "What shall I do? Because I have no room." He said in verse 18, "This will I do. I will build down my barns there, and there will I." And verse 19, "I will say to my soul," and so on. Talking to himself, not talking to God. Not asking the Lord anything about it. And he's got what folks call the I, my disease. He's worried about what he's going to do with what he's got, and it's all mine, as though he got this stuff without any help from the Lord or anybody else. And he's just a selfish rich man is all he is. And man, you talking about a penny pincher, I'm sure he was one. Probably squeezed it till, I don't know who's on a 50. Who's on a $50 bill? Whose picture's on a 50? I ain't seen one so long. I don't know. Who is it? Does anybody remember? Grant. What in the world's he doing on there? Wonder what at any rate, Grant's on a 50. Well, he probably squeezed those 50s until Grant was crying, you know. I mean, this guy was a penny pincher for sure. And it's very clear he thinks about himself. He's selfish. This is selfish, This is selfishness all the way through here. And he said, this is what I'll do. Verse 18, I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. Well, what do you have to do that for? He had plenty already. He didn't need to do that. He just got on his mind just getting more, 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 more. There's something about this thing whenever a person wills to be rich or wills to be successful, wills to do their own thing. It's just they get on like a roller coaster and they can't get off. And just stay on there trying to get to a higher level than ever before, and just a thrill that they hadn't had before, and all everything they're doing, it all consists of what a man has for him. He's got all of these bucks, and I mean he's got all that he needs. He's got the barns, he got all that, and now he's just wanting to do more. So verse 19, I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Everything he's got, he's just living for himself. And it's for his ease. It's for his enjoyment. It's for his merriment. The Bible says in verse number 20, but God said unto him, thou fool. Thou fool. A man's a fool who does and has that kind of attitude, because I tell you, there's something else in this thing, and it shouldn't be a surprise to you, but you know, none of us are going to live forever, and we might forget about it someday, but there's a day appointed to every person, and that grim reaper is standing back there behind this man. And he's just waiting until the time, just waiting until the day, whenever God says, that's it. This guy's number is up. And God said, thou fool. And it happened that on this day, whenever this man was making all of these plans, it happened that this was the night this man is going to go out of this world. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You ever thought about that one day, and the day is coming whenever God's going to require your soul? I mean, God's going to say to you, to me, to every one of us here, this is it. This is the last day. We had some sad news this week. Good friend of ours. Folks have been dear friends for years. And we got word that they cancer. And not only was the cancer in one area, but the cancer has gone to pancreas, to lungs, liver, spleen, before anyone knew it. In other words, everything fine, everything going along, cancer working all along, then got to feeling just a little poorly and went to the doctor, test, and all of a sudden find out. And folks, I'll tell you this, if the cancer is spread that far, you're not going to be around here very long. Could be any time. Every one of us, that could be our situation at any moment. You might have a little warning, and then again, you might not. I don't know. I don't know when the hour, when the second is that God's going to say, that's it. Thy soul is required of thee. This man didn't know it because he was making big plans. And everything in here, he's going to store it up. He's going to save for himself. He's going to spend it on himself. He said, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. He's got a big savings account, but it's all for self. It's all for him. That's all he has a matter of looking at. And Jesus then goes on and goes beyond just money. And Jesus says in verse number 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I'm thinking about this morning. Rich toward God. Boy, it's so simple. That's so simple. but yet it's so hard. Rich toward God. That doesn't mean that men see you. That doesn't mean that men know about you. It doesn't mean that you're making a big splash in the headlines of any kind. Rich toward God. Laying up treasure for himself. You say, well, preacher, I don't have any money like that. You've got something better than money. You've got your life. That's a precious thing. That's a valuable thing. Next verse, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Boy, that's a challenge, isn't it? In this day, whenever our economy and everything about it revolves so much around having a paycheck and having enough money to meet the bills and to stay on top of everything, and it's just a struggle all the time. Jesus said, life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. I got to thinking about this thing, being rich toward God. God's given each one of us 24 hours in a day. We don't know how many days we've got, but you've had a good many so far. I've had a good many so far. Some of us had more than others, and some of us will have more than others. But you've got 24 hours in a day, and I want to ask you something. Have you ever thought about being rich toward God? Not giving. I'm not talking about an offering here. Thank God we got this offering thing where we're trying to raise $20,000 so that there's a man who's going to match that with $20,000. I'm not interested in all these little schemes, but anytime somebody says, you know, if you raise $20,000, I'll give you $20,000, I know a good deal when I see one. And so I just say, you know, it's good to do that. And you can do that. And I don't know it'll ever happen again in my lifetime, but, it could. I don't know. But I'm glad for it because we're going to use it for something that's valuable. And I think that's worthy and needs to be done. We're going to pay off our debt. Pay off the final debt. I had a little note in our bulletin. I don't know if you noticed it or not. But in our September bulletin that's out there, it's first Sunday it's out there. And this last Sunday in this month, so need that bulletin, so it's out there. And the little note in there is that we only lack about $1,500 from what I've heard. If everybody gives, it's going to give. From what I've heard, maybe about $1,500 is all we lack in meeting that. I've got no doubt that we're going to meet that. I hadn't had to preach on it, hadn't had to harp on it, and I'm not going to. I just think that's a reasonable thing. That church members, we ought to see that and do what we can toward it. So I'm not talking about money, and I'm not trying to raise some kind of special offering here. But I'm talking about the matter of being rich toward God. How's your day invested? Rich toward God. I have a problem slowing down and pastoring. My problem is that it's not very exciting. You know it? It's not very exciting. And every once in a while, somebody gets saved, and that's wonderful. And pastoring in a small town, you know, it's just not every Sunday that wonderful miracles and all of these things take place. You understand that? Beeville is saturated with churches of all kinds. Sometimes we think we'd like to have, you know, 4, 5, 7, 800, 1,000, 2,000 in here. I don't think we would know what to do if 2,000 people came in. I think we'd have trouble. I don't think we would know what to do if we had 300 next Sunday. Do you know, there must be some growth inside before you can handle growth outside. This is true of any work, I think, a spiritual work for God. If we're going to be rich toward God, I think there must be a deeper work within before there can be a work farther out. Many times we think the answer is just simply, let's just get some folks saved. Let's just get them saved. Well, wonderful. Well, what happens after they get saved? There's some of the most miserable things and most terrible things that's ever happened has happened because of carnal Christians, baby Christians, never growing, never having any stability in their life. I mean, some of the worst things that ever happened have happened because of that. Not being grounded doctrinally, and it takes a while to get grounded doctrinally. I'm not making an excuse for any small numbers, anything like that. But I'm just telling you that growth will not come and should not come until we do some growing on the inside. Bible Baptist Church needs to be, of all things, composed of people who are, as a whole, grounded Christians. Solid, spiritually, rich toward God. Rich toward God. So that's what I'm talking about. Rich toward God. It's not something we can let off on. Not something we ever attain and then we forget it. You need to be reminded of it all the time. How do you spend your life? How do you spend your day? Are you just looking for the big splashes? Looking for the great times, the wonderful things? Vacation Bible school. Would you like to have that every week? A lot of work goes into that. Like to have folks, you see folks saved, accept Christ, but then it's a little let down whenever you don't see them just jumping in there and ready to go for the Lord, everybody, No, you're not going to see that. It's not going to happen. See somebody make a profession of faith here, have a revival, make a profession of faith, and then it looks like there's some kind of spiritual life, and then maybe one will kind of keep on and keep going, but maybe two or three others just drop aside, and then it gets, that's where it gets rough. That's when it's hard to be rich toward God. That's when it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to quit. I heard a preacher, an old preacher, say one time, anybody can quit. And I believe that's so. Anybody can quit. It doesn't take much of a man or a woman to quit because things are not happening like we think or whatever. I tell you what, maybe the reason they're not happening is because we're not rich toward God. Being rich toward God has to do with being content with what you've got and giving to God what you've got. What are we doing with what we got, folks? You've got a job teaching a Sunday school class. That job ought to be, in your eyes, the most important thing that you're doing this week or next week or any other time. Because teaching people the Bible, if that is not the highest order and highest calling and highest duty, I don't know what would be. I don't know what would be. Teaching, they're just 2 years old, or they're just 5 years old, or they're just 9 years old. But wait a minute, they're not just. It's an awesome responsibility, tremendous responsibility. And God wants us to be rich toward Him in what we're doing, in our teaching, to take it seriously. Have a responsibility in the church. I did this little thing of having leaders and talking about leadership, and everybody, you can be a leader. But I'll tell you what, you won't be much of a leader if you don't exercise what you can do in that position. You ought to, in God's work, folks, we ought to be the best we can be in it. You don't have to be a superstar, but you need to give God your best. Don't give Him the stuff that's left over. Don't just put it all together a few minutes and then hope it'll all work out all right. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Malachi. Malachi, I said chapter 2, I wanted chapter number 1. Malachi chapter 1. This book of Malachi It's a burden to Malachi to preach this. It's a time whenever Israel goes back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and the temple. It's a time of Ezra and Nehemiah. And Malachi is preaching. And he sees some things. He first of all tells the people what's wrong. And then he has some preaching he does to the preachers. I did a little bit of that preaching this morning over there in my class over there in the fellowship hall. And I handled the preaching this morning. Boys, some stuff that make you say, whoa, oh me, over there. But here we've got to the people here in Malachi chapter 1. And look, please, in verse number 8. 1:8. For if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? In other words, giving God the leftovers and giving God that which is useless. Now Malachi is dealing with an offering here. Here's a fellow bringing in an offering to God, and he brings that offering in, and instead of bringing the best that he's got, he brings something that's blind. He brings a blind animal. Animal no good for anything else, so he gives it to God. Got a lame animal and a sick one, he brings that in to God. That's not being rich toward God. That's keeping the good stuff for ourselves and living all for ourselves. Now, let me ask you something. The way you do your church responsibility, if you did the same thing on your job, would your boss be pleased? Malachi said, offer it now unto thy governor. Offer it to the man you work for. Will he be pleased with thee? Will he accept that kind of work? No, you'd be fired in a minute. We ought to give our best to God. Give our best effort to Him. Everything we do, try to be the best. Listen, you may not be an A student. You might be just a C student. But if you're doing the best you can do, that's what God wants. That's what He wants, folks. He just wants the best we can do. Many people worry about all the results, and they want all of these things to be in it. Like evidently this man just lived for getting increase. Instead of trying to use the things he had to God's glory, he was just trying to get an increase, and he got it. Look at verse 10. Malachi 1:10. Who is there even among you that shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. In other words, serving God only when there's a benefit in it. Serve Him only when there's a benefit. You say, well, I don't get paid to do this. Folks, I'm telling you, God is going to pay you. There is a reward at the judgment seat of Christ for those who are faithful in the service. You say, well, I don't teach a Sunday school class. I don't do any of the things. You're a member of the church. We're supposed to be pulling together. We're supposed to be working together. God help you, like this little thing of this offering we had. You know, it takes everybody pulling together to do it. And if you're a church member, visitors, you just forget I'm saying anything right now. But I'm saying this, if you're a church member, you should have participated in this offering. You say, well, I don't have any money. Oh, you don't? Well, how about doing away with your Cokes for one month? How about doing away with your candy bars for 1 month? How about fasting a couple of meals and just taking the money and putting it in the offering? How about doing what you can do? We did an unusual thing one time back several years ago when I was pastoring. We said, we're going to get together some money and we're going to send it to these folks, give it to them. It's going to be a gift. But let's do this. Let's for 1 month just take, every time you think about buying some junk food, buying a Coke. Now listen, folks, you don't need a Coke. You can argue all day long. You don't need a Coke. You don't need a diet. You don't need anything. Water will do fine. It'll keep you going. And you'll feel a lot better, too, after you have it. You don't need the Snicker candy bar. You don't need all that stuff. I hope I've got some banana pudding in a little bit. But I'll tell you what, I don't need the banana pudding to live. You understand? You understand that? You know what I'm talking about. And it would not hurt any of us to go without a meal about one meal a day, would it? No, it sure wouldn't. Nobody'd die. But I told my folks, I said, listen, let's just take the money we'd usually spend on a junk food, like a Coke or a piece of candy or some chips, potato chips or something like that. I said, let's just, and I challenge all of them, young people and everybody, just 1 month, and just put it aside. And at the end of the month, we'll take it up, and we'll take that off, and we'll give it to God. Folks, you'd be amazed. We had a couple of hundred folks there. And in that month's time, my goodness, if I remember right, it was about a couple of thousand bucks. And good night, you know, you'd be amazed at what you spend on junk. Just stuff you don't need. God said, who is there even among you who shut the doors for nothing? Kindle the fire. In other words, I'm only serve God whenever there's a benefit in it. Why should I do that? I'm not getting paid for it. Well, we do it because we serve God. Look at verse 13. You said also, behold, what a weariness is it. You snuffed at it. You said, boy, it gets tiresome. Tell me about it, would you? Tell me about it. Tiresome. Listen. I said, it's hard to kind of gear down and come and pastor a church here. I geared down. I'm geared down into grandma. I had to pull it on down into grandma gear. I mean, I was up there in fourth. I was up there in fourth gear, third and fourth gear, rolling around the mountains, and I came down here to Beeville, Texas, and it's just like pulling it down into grandma. Kind of hard. Pulling and slow. Pulling. Listen, Sue and I have always said, if we ever get out of this thing we're doing now and going in mission. See, 12 years, folks, we lived out of a box. We had a house over in South Carolina. We'd come in and out and gone. And that was about it. It was just a matter of changing clothes and whatever. And we just lived out of a box and we was going. Sue and I always said, if we ever stop doing this, we're going to have to join the circus to stay excited. And I feel like kind of, you know, kind of like that. And so here, you know, like I say, I've geared down into grandma. And it's kind of like the way it is, see. I mean, I'm used to being somewhere different every week. Maybe a couple of 3 days every week, traveling, going, seeing this, over there. And then all of a sudden be over in China, be in the Philippines, or be somewhere else, be up in some other country, and starting churches over there in the Philippines, going. See, I've been used to all of that, and then I had to say, and now here I come, and I'm preaching to you every week, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And most of you run away, and I don't see you till the next Sunday morning. That's all right. I love you anyway. I don't blame you. I'd run away too. There are not very many exciting things happen. Every once in a while somebody gets saved. Every once in a while visitors come. You know what? It's easy to say there's a weariness in this. This is tiresome. You know why? Because nothing exciting happened. But hey, Dave Reese is not supposed to be living just for Dave Reese to stay excited. Hey, this thing is not about me being entertained. One of our folks gave me a book. I was reading that book and I was interested at the very beginning of the book. It was telling about this man whose whole life was changed because one night they went to a little church up in Kentucky. And it was a cold winter night, and the reason he and his buddy, they were in school, they decided to go to church was because they just kind of felt sorry for the preacher. They said, he won't have anybody there tonight, so we'll just go. Sunday night now, cold weather, Kentucky, country, Sunday night, you know, church. You know how many's going to be there, especially if it's snowing. And so they went. But you know, it was on that night, that preacher, thank God that he did, he was faithful, and he stood, and he preached, and one of those young men surrendered his life to God that night. And the book's written about him and about the things he did for God. You know, it might be just that one Sunday school class whenever you walk in there, and it's something that you say, you're trying to be faithful to God, and you keep your eye on God's responsible for the numbers, and God's responsible for all these outward things. God will take care of all that. You just be faithful and be rich toward God, and you can't ever tell, but that little fellow or that little girl sitting there, you, something, God will use you, and it will change their life completely. You'll make a difference. I'm not in this for the quick fix. We don't have any quick fixes. When you're pastoring a church and when you're a member of a church, folks, you are not looking to try to just get great, great, great success and just be so successful in men's eyes. That's not the thing of it. That's not the thing of it. That's not the way to do it. Oh, you can do it by manipulating and doing certain things, but that's not the way to do it. That is not the way to do it. God will take care of the numbers He wants you to have. God will take care of all of those things if we are faithful in serving God and doing what we're supposed to do right now with what we've got. God will take and God will bless that and God will honor it, and when it happens, it will be something that's solid. It'll be something that's stable. It'll be something that lasts. Look back in your life. What quick thing, what quick overnight thing, I mean just a short thing, just happened in a few weeks, what quick thing totally, completely changed your life? Nothing. Nothing. Anything that really mattered in your life and my life and changed our lives, folks, you know what? It took months and months and years. 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 Average preacher stays at a church about 1.5 years. 1.5 years. 1 year, 6 months. That's the average time for a preacher to stay at a church. You know why? They come in, they preach. It looks like nothing's happening, and they're expecting big things, and so they quit and go on somewhere else and quit and go on, you know, and it's just a continual thing. You won't get anything done like that. That's why you don't go to school one day and then get out the next day and they hand you the diploma. It takes a little while. You got to put out some just ordinary, and some of those days will be, and you'll be tempted to say, boy, this is weary. Same thing happening. Same thing happening. But you have to comfort yourself and you have to look to God and encourage yourself in God and say, God, I'm not doing this for the outward things. I'm doing this for God. I'm doing it because I want to be rich toward God. It's His work. That's where that man got in trouble. When he said, I'll do this for myself. I'll do this. I'll do that. Making all of his plans, everything looked wonderful. But God can shut it down just like that. And He did. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Won't you take an inventory this morning and just determine that by God's grace, you're going to be rich toward God. You have a valuable, valuable treasure already. Your life, this day. And if God gives us tomorrow, my, we don't deserve that. But if He gives us tomorrow, my, I want to be rich toward God tomorrow. I want to be rich toward Him. Oh, God, help us to do that. And Father, I pray today that You'd bless. And Lord, I pray for somebody here that's not saved, that they'd receive the Lord Jesus as a Savior. And Father, Lord, it all begins there. It begins right there at the cross, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. So, Father, I pray that if there's one here not saved that trusts Christ, and then, Lord, every one of us that's saved, God, may we be our best for Thee. Lord, help us. May we never offer that which is lame and that's blind and that's no good for anything else, and we think we'll give it to You. And, Lord, may we not just give You the leftover time during the day when we've done all the things for ourselves and left You out of everything. God, help us not to do that. Lord, may we never get weary in well-doing. May we continue to do it, trusting Thee to bring in the fruit and bring the results. that'll glorify you and, Lord, be a blessing. We ask it for Jesus' sake. While our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, let's stand together. If there's one here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, you'll say, "Preacher, I'll trust Jesus Christ this morning and I'll come. I'll meet you as you come." Say, "Preacher, I'll trust Christ right now as my Savior. I want to be rich toward God. I'll meet you as you come." Wherever you're at in this building, just come on as we just wait prayerfully, just waiting prayerfully. All to Jesus, I surrender. Let me ask you this too, Christian. Some Christian in here, God spoke in your heart. Maybe you got a little weary. Maybe you got a little weary. And you've been saying, it's getting tiresome. I don't see anything. Don't see anything in my life. Don't see anything in others. Just a hard thing, just problems, troubles. Christian, right now, would you just ask God to forgive you for the lack of faith and just renew your dedication to Him right now? Would you do that right now? I wonder how many in this congregation, while our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you say, "Preacher, today God's challenged me. God's spoken in my heart, and today I'm renewing myself to trust God, and I want to be rich toward God. I've been guilty of just going my own way and giving God what's left over, but now I'm going to give Him. By God's grace, I'll do my best to be rich toward God." Would you just slip your hand up anywhere in the congregation? God bless you. Thank you. You may put it down. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Anybody here now, you need to get saved, or you've already trusted Christ, never told anybody, would you step out? Come on, I'll meet you. Have a word of prayer with you. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. All to Thee, my precious Savior. Amen.